We present Donald Sinden as Sir Merlin Foster in The Final Twist by Ken Whitmore and Alfred Bradley, with Michael Troughton as Charlie Nicholson and Amanda Waring as Eden Dundee.
I'm on my way. I can't move any faster.
Charlie Nicholson.
Yes.
Yes. Good to see you. Now, come on in. It's awfully kind of you to come traipsing out all this way.
Thank you, Sir Merlin. It's great, it's a very great privilege to
meet me. Yes, I know, yes. And it's an honor to have you here, my boy.
Gosh. Well, here I am, face to face with Merlin Foster. Do I call you sir or what?
No. Just call me Merlin.
And so that's the doorbell.
I'm sorry?
That's the doorbell.
What about it?
Mozart's 40th. Diddle bum, diddle bum, diddle bum, bum.
Yes, that's right.
I've heard that before.
But you've heard Mozart's 40th?
I've heard that doorbell.
You've heard my doorbell? Well, before today? I mean, I don't quite follow.
Yes, when you rang me up, remember?
Ah.
In the middle of our conversation, I suddenly heard Mozart's 40th in a very, esoteric arrangement, and then you said, "Excuse me, Charlie, someone's at the door."
Did I really?
And I said to myself, "Good heavens, that must be his doorbell."
Yes. Now, listen, why do you keep going on about my bloody doorbell?
I'm nervous. I used to see you up there on the silver screen when I was a boy. You're a legend. I'm just nervous.
Nothing to be nervous about.
God, what a wonderful cottage. You live here all the time?
No, just at weekends. We've a little pad in London. Sit down, Charlie. Relax.
Thank you.
Now, something to drink? Tea? Coffee? Something stronger?
No, I'm fine.
Did you follow all my instructions?
Yes, I did.
Told nobody you were coming here?
Not a soul, no, nobody.
Not your agent?
Nobody at all.
Splendid. Good man.
No. Look, I don't quite follow what we're supposed to be up to.
Up to? Up to. Charlie, I wish you wouldn't gape at me like that.
I'm sorry. I still can't get used to it. Me, here, with Sir Merlin Foster. Big in films, big on the stage, married 5 times to 5 of the most wonderful. Ooh, the cleverest, the classiest, the sexiest. I do beg your pardon.
You had 6 wives, actually. Can you name them all, I wonder?
Name them? Well, let me see. There was that beautiful Swedish blonde film star.
Danish.
Oh, Danish, yes. Petra Borg, that's right.
Yeah.
Then, let me see. The Chainstore Millionaires, right? Then Rita Hayworth. Ava Gardner, of course. God, imagine being married to Rita Hayworth. Now, let me see. Did you ever marry Elizabeth Taylor?
Elizabeth Taylor? No, I can't recall.
Well, can't recall? Oh, that's a good one. Married to Elizabeth Taylor and can't recall.
Well, I have rather a poor memory. And do you remember any more of my wife?
Well, if you can't, how do you expect me to? Now, wait a minute. Then you married... her name's on the tip of my tongue. Dorothea Southgate, the Catholic novelist. And she's your wife now. I saw a picture of the pair of you. Oh, quite recently. Dorothea Southgate, the female Graham Greene.
Oh, no, you're wrong there. Dorothea Southgate divorced me a couple of years ago.
She divorced you?
Yes.
Well, that's strange.
What's strange about him?
Well, that picture in the paper, and then she's a Catholic.
Right.
Well, I thought they couldn't divorce.
She got a papal dispensation.
Oh, I see. There's something that's always puzzled me.
About me?
Yes. I could never work out whether you were British or American. You have that sort of international...
Ah, yes, where do I come from? I have trouble remembering. It was all so long ago, and I've been so many people in my time. My father was a cannibal chief up the Amazon. He ate an entire British Consul Touring Company of dear octopus. With the exception of the property mistress, who fascinated him with her thunder machine and lightning flashes and coloured smokes. In due course, she gave birth to me, and when I was 7 years old, we managed to escape at the height of the monsoon season. I rather miss the old boy. No, that's not true. I miss him dreadfully. He was the only civilized man I ever encountered.
Yes. So, what did you want with me, Sir Merlin?
I want you to write me a play.
Me? You want me to write a play for you? But I'm a nobody. I'm so obscure. Anyway, I couldn't write a play for you.
Why not?
I've got a block, a creative block.
Oh.
I stopped writing in 1992. I just fizzled out. It was my annus horribilis, you know, like the Queen.
What happened?
Well, my wife divorced me, then my novel was rejected, and then to cap it all, my first play closed after a week. Oh, and apart from that, I lost £9,000 gambling.
Just £9,000?
Yes.
Well, you managed to repay it.
No, that's the trouble. There's a bookie in Manchester. He's hired a thug to come and get it off me. What they call an enforcer.
Good heavens.
I have to keep changing my address.
Good Lord. What can he do, this thug?
Well, it depends on the bookie. Whether he wants me pine-boxed or just badly hurt.
Good God. Pine-boxed? I had no idea that you were a fugitive. Can't you write something and pay the bugger off?
Well, I've tried, but I'm like a rabbit paralysed in the headlights. Can't write anymore. There's a great big hollow where my brain used to be. No ideas anymore. Nope, nothing.
I have an idea.
You have an idea?
Yes, I have an idea.
For a play?
For a play, yes, a play.
So you want me to write it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, it's still no good. I've been sort of castrated for writing. I've got a block as big as Beachy Head.
Listen, Charlie, act as if you had faith and it will be given to you.
Oh, if only.
These problems can be overcome, I know. I was in therapy myself for 15 years. I always recall the moment I said goodbye to my shrink. I remember our parting words. I said to him, "Will I always be nuts, Tony?" And he replied, "Hopefully, Merlin."
Yes?
A rum world, you know. Must be a god, you know. How else explain fellows like me and Michelangelo? On the day God made me, everything must have been absolutely on song in the heavenly workshops. He turns out great batches of ordinary types, but just now and then the machines are a perfect pitch, and along comes a Mozart or a Merlin Foster. And when I come face to face with the great playwright in the sky, I shall say, "My dear fellow, thank you for the starring role. There were so many bit parts. What a jolly interesting piece. But what was it all about? Was there a message?" Yeah, I'm sorry. I must be bloody horrible to meet you, you know. Hard luck, old son.
Oh, thanks. Very much. So, what is this idea of yours? Not that I can promise anything, what with my head like this.
I want you to work out a foolproof plan for me to murder my wife.
Murder your wife? You mean a play? A murder play?
Yes.
Oh, a thriller. For you, Merlin Foster.
Just so, yes, a thriller.
For you to play in?
Yes.
But look here. You're a man of the classics. I mean, good heavens. You're Hamlet, you're Serrano, you're Willie Loman. We were brought up on you.
Have you ever heard of alimony? Of the tax man?
Alimony?
Six marriages, Charlie, and these women have pauperized me. But still I dream, Charlie. As you were so kind to say, I'm about to hit my perihelion. And I want to go out in style, Charlie. I want to play Lear, Prospero, Falstaff, the Jew of Malta, in one coruscating, scintillating season. It'll be the cherry on the top of my Knickerbocker glory. And then, phew, the comet called Merlin Foster can fall from the heavens. But that takes money. So, to pay for it, I need one tacky thriller.
And I supply the tacky thriller.
Ah, come slumming, Charlie. I'll make it worth your while. 20,000 up front.
Pounds?
20,000, tax-free. And 20,000 more on acceptance of the final script.
For a plot? Hang on, for a plot? To murder your wife?
Yes.
We are talking about a play.
Oh, what else? Oh, I see. No. Now, I adore my wife. You'll soon find out. You'll be meeting her very shortly, and she's just out for a gallop at present.
Gallop?
Yes. On a horse.
Oh, a horse, yes. £40,000. Do you mind if I call my agent?
Yes, I do mind.
Well, I can't speak to my agent.
I've spoken to him.
Oh, well, what did he say?
Said you were no good.
No good? Henry Savage said I was no good?
Said you were a born loser and you'd never trouble the scoreboard.
Henry?
First of all, when I said I wanted you to write me a thriller, Savage offered me another writer.
Another writer?
Who happened to be his son-in-law. Then when I said it had to be Charlie Nicholson or nobody, he offered me a deal.
What kind of a deal?
Well, the author of a stage play normally takes 7% of the box office. Savage said I could have you for 5%?
What are you talking about?
Plus 1% for Savage, under the counter, and 1% for me. In other words, he planned to rob you of 2%. And with the production I have in mind, that would mean you'd be losing about 40,000 a year.
40,000 a year?
Just scribble this little piece of fluff, and I promise you your take will be 150,000 at least.
And you put this to Henry, and he said I'd never trouble the scoreboard. Well, I didn't know he was a cricket fan. So, what did you do?
I accepted the son-in-law.
Accepted the son-in-law?
I commissioned a play from the son-in-law. It cost me £5,000. It'll be a travesty. We signed the contract yesterday.
Well, why did you do that? £5,000 for a travesty?
To throw Savage off the scent.
Scent? What scent?
The scent of the great fortune we're about to make. It's obvious Savage is not a man to be trusted. I don't want him to get wind of my idea.
The idea that you murder your wife? Look, you're sure this is just a play?
Dearest fellow, look, I'm Merlin Zacharias Foster, the greatest living actor. I've achieved all a man can aspire to, and I'm on course for a slab in Westminster Abbey. Do you think I'd risk all that for the sake of a tawdry murder?
Yes, but why all this...
Secrecy. Because we're talking about a multi-million pound business. It's called the theatre, and it feeds off ideas. Ideas are golden. That's why they have to be guarded like atomic secrets. I have one, Charlie. I have an idea, and I don't want it stolen by the likes of Henry Savage. A good new thriller will run forever, Charlie. One set, small cast, no cost, astronomical profits. I produce, cast and star in it myself. They'll come in droves to see me. They always have. It would take a couple of years of my life and make me comfortable forever. It would make you comfortable forever. Just think of it, Charlie. Irrevocable wealth.
Irrevocable wealth? Tell me more. What is this idea?
The idea is that a terribly celebrated old actor-manager like me hires a starving young writer like you to invent a plot to murder his wife. Now tell me, what is the most vital ingredient of a successful play?
Well, a story.
Go on.
A good, strong story.
Go on.
With a ring of truth, with authenticity.
We're getting there. Anything else?
With convincing characters, real people.
Real people! He's got it! Real places, real situations. Now write me a murder, Charlie. One that would work in real life because it's based on real people. On my old lady and me. Now study me. Study my wife. Study our habits. Study this cottage and our little house in Knightsbridge. Winkle out where in all this web of relationships the perfect crime could be committed. I want a complete blueprint with calculations accurate to 1/1,000,000th of 1 degree, and then we'll put it on the desk bench.
test bench. How do you mean?
I mean, I'll carry out your plan to the letter. I'll get hold of the cutthroat razor or the meat cleaver or whichever blunt instrument you choose. Oh, now, yes, now look here. Now, here, hold on to your hat. I'll show you something. Perhaps this could come in handy.
Is that real?
Yes. It's a .32 caliber revolver. 6 bullets in the chamber.
Live ones?
Of course, live ones. This is a lonely spot. I don't intend having my career cut short by the first young dopehead who comes out here wanting money to buy wacky-backy.
Would you mind? I should put it away now.
If it alarms you. But bear it in mind.
Yes. Sorry to bring this up, but I'll need an advance. I do have to eat.
But of course you do. A writer should eat like a king. Now, here is a check for 5,000. Is that enough to be going on with?
Well, should keep me in pencils and paper.
And don't put it on a horse. Actually, I don't care what you do with it. It's really nothing to do with me, as long as you don't spend it all at the Barracuda Club.
Barracuda Club?
The local gambling palace, just by the station.
Just by the station? A casino?
Yes, well, never you mind. Forget I ever mentioned it. And put that check away before my wife comes in.
Why? Well, doesn't she know about this?
Good God, no. No, no. That would spoil everything. No, dear boy, no. My wife must be the complete innocent, wickedly plotted against and totally in the dark, so that we can witness her horrified reactions as the truth slowly... That's her at the door now, I do believe. Yeah, now, remember, mum's the word.
Oh, Merlin, something terrible's happened.
What is it?
It's poor old Jimmy Thimble. He's gone and broken his knees. It will mark him for life.
Oh, dear.
I had to wait for the vet, and he took absolutely ages, and then... Oh, sorry. How do you do?
Oh, good.
Eden Dundee, aspiring actress. Funny name, isn't it? But she comes from there. Dundee, I mean, not Eden. Oh, I don't know, though. Little temptress.
Give over, Merlin. Jimmy's hurt himself quite badly. He trod on a stone on Bonfire Hill. It was hidden under all that horrible bracken. I could tell straight away something was wrong.
Darling, would you come? Just wait for a moment. Have a guest.
Sorry, only I'm so upset. I'm going to have to stay down here for a few days and look after him, Merlin. The girls at the stable are all very kind and well-intentioned, but they can't give him the love and attention. I'm sorry, Mr...
Nicholson. Charlie Nicholson.
Sorry, Mr. Nicholson. You must think I'm...
No, I understand.
Yes. Well, I'll go up and get out of these jodhpurs. Excuse me. Did you say Charlie Nicholson?
Yeah.
You aren't by any chance the Charlie Nicholson.
No.
No?
Well, I don't think so.
Did you write The Black Telephone Box?
Yes.
The Mysterious Refrigerator?
Yes.
Oh, they're fabulous, utterly fabulous.
Oh, get away. They're a complete waste of trees.
But they're wonderful. A bit on the gruesome side. What the hell? What's a bit of gore these days,
no? Wait a minute. Just wait a minute.
Yes.
Where did you come across Charlie's books?
Charlie's books? In your study at Kinnerton Street. Why?
Kinnerton? Oh. Oh, I see.
Are you going to commission a play from him? A lovely, juicy murder story with a poor, lovely lady cutting pieces and posted to all points of the compass? Oh, do, Merlin. I think you'd make a divine murderer.
A murderer? Me?
Oh, go on. You'd be a wonderful murderer.
My dear, I'm an artist. A man of the classics. Putting Merlin Foster in a murder mystery would be like trying to cram a bird of paradise into a canary cage. And besides, Charlie's given up murder. He's into the theatre of significance.
Oh, no. How terrible. I think you should stick to murder, Charlie, because after all, so many people have done that other kind of thing, haven't they? No? Righto. I'll pop up and change. You think about what I said, the pair of you.
Yes, well, you like.
Ooh, not half. She's very nice. As a matter of interest, how old?
She's just 23. I got her fresh out of drama school, still wet from her first Shakespeare. Does she give you any ideas?
Ideas? No.
For the play?
No, What, already? I'm not a slot machine. Please don't pop out like chewing gum, you know.
That's a good one, yes. Please don't pop out like chewing gum. You know, make a note of that. We want plenty of that. Concrete images. And the murder must arise quite naturally out of Eden's daily routine. So study her closely. You could stay here for the next week or two. They're falling with your plans.
Very nicely, thank you.
Yeah, Eden's stopping down here to nurse the horse. Yes, good, good, yes. Couldn't have worked out better. You could get to know her intimately.
Yes, I could.
Look, now, I've got to get back to town in an hour to see Dickie Attenborough. Would you care for a lift?
Oh, back to town?
Yes, to collect your things.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I could show you around the house in Kinnerton Street at the same time. You could drown her in the jacuzzi. Yeah. Now, listen, you must meet our neighbours, the old Duchess of Lonsdale and the police commissioner.
Police commissioner?
We live next door to the commissioner of police at Scotland Yard, Sir Norman McNamara. Now, he's a great friend of ours. You could put him into the plot. Yeah, well, think about it. Mm. Now, let me consult my diary, see the best time for you to move in here, isn't it? Yes, well, I fly to Venice next Wednesday for the Bertolucci film. Away for 10 days. You know, we should have a good chunk of the script ready by the time I get home.
Well, me? Some hopes.
Well, I've given you plenty to chew on. Oh, talking of ideas, you haven't seen the well at the bottom of the garden.
Well?
Yes. It's an old artesian well, tailor-made for dead bodies. Hey, go and look at it. And while you're out there, you better make notes of this conversation.
Notes? What for?
What for? Why, to use in the play. Make notes of everything.
Well, I don't normally make notes for a play.
This is not a normal play. So make notes. Real people, real places, real dialogue. Now off you go.
Which way?
Through the kitchen door. There. Down the path. Mm. Through the kissing gate. Well, you can't miss it. Now off you go, dear boy.
All right.
What am I paying you for?
Where's Charlie?
In Brazil, where the nuts come from.
Brazil?
He's in the garden. I say, is that a new dress?
Yes.
How much?
It's Sandra Rhodes.
I didn't ask whose it was. I asked the price.
Since when did you bother about the cost of a £1,000 frock?
£1,000?
Merlin, I've seen you tip a waiter 50 for a decent table. So don't lecture me. What's the matter, darling? Has something gone wrong?
We've just folded on Broadway.
Oh, no.
I've told Herman to put up the closing notices.
Oh, no, Merlin, I'm so sorry.
No, and so is my accountant. It appears the tax man has caught up with me. We're going to have to make some sacrifices.
Well, so long as you don't sacrifice me.
No, actually, I was thinking of Kinnerton Street.
The house?
Yeah.
You mean sell it?
Yeah.
But how will we entertain?
We'll twiddle our thumbs.
And I'll be buried down here in the country.
With any luck.
With any luck? What do you mean by that?
Well, I might have to get rid of this place, too.
But where shall we live?
Well, I can live out of a suitcase.
And what about me? Merlin, are you trying to tell me something? Are you thinking of leaving me?
My funny little darling, I married you until death us do part, and I meant every word of it. I'm just saying you must pull your horns in, I mean. Take that bloody horse.
Jimmy Thimble, are you accusing me of extravagance? Who runs a Rolls and a Porsche?
For the image, my dear. You want the leading actor of the age, running around in a Reliant Robin?
Who has half a share in a yacht he never uses?
I get seasick.
Who always flies Concorde? Merlin, your monthly cigar bill alone would keep my horse for a whole damn year.
The public expects it from me. You know quite well I'd rather stop at home with my stamp collection and trot around in bedroom slippers.
Yes, and who pays £5,000 for one tiny little postage stamp?
Tiny? The size has nothing to do with it, you stupid little tart. My God, you have absolutely nothing between the ears. Astronomers will be enthralled by you, the first black hole on Earth.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Excuse me, sorry, am I interrupting?
Oh, Charlie, dear boy. How long have you been standing there?
Oh, me? Oh, well...
It's okay, Charlie. Come in. Merlin's just throwing one of his little tantrums. You'll get used to them. They don't mean a thing, do they, darling?
No. Mama, give me a kiss. Ah, there. My lovely poppet. My word, is that really the time? I'd better go and dress if we're driving up to town.
Eden, will you see that the spare room is in order? Charlie will be using it for the time being. I'd be glad if you could keep him company for a few days.
Keep him company?
Yes. Well, cook and clean for him. See he gets to bed on time. He's going to be a very busy lad.
But Merlin...
Just see to it.
Look, if my staying here is going to be awkward for you...
No, Charlie. No trouble at all.
Does he often blow his top like that?
Doesn't mean a thing, Charlie. Merlin wouldn't hurt a fly. Oh, I know he can seem violent and unpredictable, and he has this reputation for barroom brawling, but scrape off the barnacles and a layer of marzipan is revealed.
Marzipan? What about his six wives?
Yes, just like Henry VIII, isn't he? But I'm going to be his Catherine Parr. You know, the one who outlived him.
He's always married money, hasn't he?
Money? What a terrible thing to say. He's always married beautiful women who just happened to be rich.
Are you rich?
I was rich.
But now?
It's all gone. Oh, good heavens. Why am I telling you all this? Merlin would be furious. You have a strange way of drawing a person out.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be nosy. Where's it all gone?
My money? It's all gone into his productions. And just lately we've had a string of flops. Now, no more questions.
No, sorry. How much did you have?
1.8 million.
What?
My daddy was very big in meat pies. Oh, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that now my money's gone, he'll start looking around. But you're wrong. Merlin would never leave me.
Well, he'd be a fool if he did.
Yes, he would. Because we've got a Californian marriage contract.
A what?
A watertight legal settlement drawn up by the toughest lawyer in Los Angeles. If Merlin ever tried to leave me, Charlie, it would cost him every penny he made for the rest of his life. The only escape clause is death. And who's going to live longest, Henry VIII or Catherine Parr? Hush,
okay,
here he comes.
Charlie, my lad. Are the ideas starting to bubble?
What's wrong? You all right, Charlie? You look as white as a ghost.
Nicholson, where on earth have you been? What time do you call this?
Sorry, Ian. Sorry, old girl. Hey, that bell.
What?
That doorbell.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I've got to be up at the crack of dawn to put a poultice on Jimmy Thimble.
Hey, that doorbell.
You're drunk. Where have you been?
The Barracuda Club.
Oh?
Funny old club, that. I was the only customer... On the top of an old deserted warehouse. It was just me and the croupier and lots of whiskey on the house. Funny old croupier, too. Spaniard with a handlebar moustache. He took me for everything I got.
Serves you right. How much?
Everything I got. 5,000.
5,000? Where did you get...
The bell. The bell. Hold on a minute, that doorbell.
What about the blooming doorbell?
A minute ago, it gave me an idea. Now it's gone. What the hell was it?
I've no idea. I am going to bed. Good night.
No, wait. Would you mind going outside and ringing it?
The doorbell? You're completely sozzled.
No, please, this is important.
I started to get an idea.
What, for your play?
Could be. Now go out and ring the bell. Jog my memory.
Okay, but then I'm going to bed. Well, will that do?
Let me see. If the police commissioner telephoned Merlin, or if the Duchess of Lonsdale rang him, and while they were talking to him, that doorbell started chiming. No. Hang about. How could Merlin be here and at Kinnerton Street at the same time? And where would you be?
Wait a minute. What's all this? Are you writing a play about us?
About you? Oh, no. It's about a duchess who falls for a policeman. Oh, God. I'm not going to write anything. You know why? Because I've lost it. I can't do it anymore. Eden, what's your favourite method of committing suicide?
I don't know, but a hot bath comes into it somewhere.
Could you go and run me a hot bath?
That bad, Charlie?
I'm a dead loss. I throw everything away. My wife, my money, even my tiny bit of talent. Oh, boy. Is it the dark forces or is it just the malignant times?
We all feel like that, Charlie, especially at 3 a.m.
But I've lost it all, you see. I've lost exuberance, I've lost gusto, I've lost originality, zest, wit, ardour, panache, celerity, playfulness, magic, vivacity, courage, heart, optimism, hope. I lost the point of it all.
I'll go run the bath.
Ethan, I love you. You're so bright, beautiful, playful, witty, zestful.
I'll go make you some coffee.
No, don't go. Have you heard from Merlin today?
Yes, he rang up tonight, having a whale of a time.
Still in Venice?
Yes, he flies home on Saturday. Oh, good heavens! I forgot to tell you, there was a phone call for you.
When?
Oh, about 9 o'clock.
A call for me? Well, there couldn't be. Nobody knows I'm here.
Well, Mr. Forster does.
Mr. Forster?
Mr. N. Forster.
N. Forster? Oh, God! Oh, no!
What's the matter?
I think you got the name wrong.
No, N. Forster. I wrote it down.
Enforcer, Eden. Enforcer.
Enforcer?
As in one who enforces. An enforcer. What did he want?
He said he'd drop in and see you sometime. What's the matter?
I think you'd better go and run that bath.
Oh, good heavens. Who's that? Well, I suppose I should go and see.
Yes. No. Hold on. I mean, 3 a.m. It could be anybody.
Yes, could be my grandma. Charlie, Mr. N. Forster to see you.
Well, good evening. Good evening, one and all. My name is Morton Rifles.
Oh, good evening. Morning.
Excuse the lateness of the hour, but am I addressing Mr. Charlie Nicholson?
No.
Eh?
Yes.
Right. I represent Mr. Horace Blinder and the shareholders of the Lucky Strike Casinos and Funeral Parlours Limited. An outstanding account of £9,215.32. Well now, Mr. Nicholson, how would you like it?
I beg your pardon?
How would you like it? And where would you like it?
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
I do a complete service. Would you like it long or would you like it short? Would you like it here or would you like it in the open air? Some folks like it at a favourite spot, like a haunt of their youth or a place where they were happy once upon a time, such as their Oxford College or the place where they first got their end away. Would you like oak or pine or mahogany or maybe a nice inscribed pewter urn? It's all the same to me. Would you like horses and plumes and choir boys? Would you like Kensal Green or Golders Green? Would you like to be recycled as pig's wheel? Or would you prefer to be dismembered and distributed far and wide?
No. Look here. Isn't this a bit drastic?
Drastic? No, sir. It's just the usual. Not to worry. It won't hurt. Not much. I'm a craftsman. I could take your heart out so fast you wouldn't feel it. I've been in training 10 weeks for this one. Swum 150 miles, done 200 miles on the bike, done 3,000 sit-ups and 106 rounds of sparring. All that pays off tonight, especially if you put up a contest. If you put up a contest, this could be a terrific bout. Well, what do you say?
Yes, right.
What, so it's a contest?
No, I'll pay up.
Pay up?
It's in this drawer. Excuse me, won't be a moment. Now then, will you please leave the premises?
Hey?
Now, I'm warning you, this is loaded.
No, it ain't.
What?
It ain't loaded.
What?
I can tell by the way you're carrying it. It's too light in the hand to be loaded.
Well, we'll see about that.
Okay, pull the trigger.
You want to be picking lead out of your navel?
You what? You've been watching too many late night movies.
No, I haven't. I'm warning you, big boy. This is your last chance.
You can go take a flying jump.
Right, you've asked for it.
Stop, Charlie, for God's sake, put it down. It's loaded.
Hold on. You mean it is loaded?
Oh, of course it's loaded. My husband keeps it there for burglars.
There. See? Now, go away or I'll shoot.
You shoot a debt collector going about his lawful business? That's a hard rap to beat. You want 20 years in the scrubs?
What?
20 years.
Put it down, Charlie, please.
No.
Charlie, think.
I have thought, and I'd rather have 20 years in the scrubs than end up as pigs will.
All right. You win. You can have the money.
What?
I said he can have the blooming money.
But I've swum 150 miles. I've done 3,000 sit-ups.
I'll get it from my husband. He's in Venice at the moment, but he'll fax it for you first thing in the morning.
Just a minute. Can I use your blower?
Of course. Please do.
Hello? Could I speak to Uncle Horace? Uncle Horace, this Charlie Nicholson's got a friend, and she's making an offer. Yes. Payment in full. 12 noon at Rupert Street. Okay. Bye-bye. The money has to be at 72 Rupert Street by noon tomorrow. That's in the West End.
I know Rupert Street.
12 noon.
I'll see it gets there.
If it don't, my dear, I'll come back to this room and strangle you with your own brassiere.
It will be there.
This evening has been a terrible disappointment. Listen, Charlie Nicholson.
Yes?
Don't try to make a run, because I'll be waiting outside this house until that money's handed over. So, good night, one and all.
Right, that's it. I'm through. I'm finished.
You what?
I quit. I'm getting out of here. I can't take any more.
But the play!
How can I write a play with all this going on? The writer's mind is a delicate mechanism, precariously balanced. You need a little time, a little space, a little peace of mind. No wonder I can't write. Whenever I sit down to work, there's a knock at my door. I come out to a quiet country cottage, and I'm pursued by hoodlums. I get 5,000 quid, and it's immediately taken off me. I'm convinced now I wasn't meant to be a writer. God's designated my brain a no-go area for creative thoughts. Tell Merlin he'd be better off with Henry Savage's son-in-law.
Charlie, you can't leave.
Why not?
That man will be waiting for you outside.
Tomorrow, then. When the money's been handed over.
But it won't be handed over, not if you refuse to do the play.
I've just told you, I can't do the play.
You must do the play. Do it for me, Charlie. Please. I'll show my gratitude.
Show your gratitude?
Merlin needs this play desperately. So do I. Otherwise we'll be destitute. I'll see you're not disturbed again. I'll pay off this enforcer. I'll straighten everything out with Merlin. Then you and I can see where we go from there.
You and I? What do you mean? Where could we go?
What do you think I mean?
You don't mean you and me? Oh, you couldn't possibly mean...
It's just that over these last few days, while we've been alone together... No, I'm not saying any more. I'm still Merlin's wife.
Thinking of leaving him?
What would it matter to you if I did?
What would it matter to me? Oh, Eden, look, I'm no good at love declarations. But I've been thinking, and it suddenly occurred to me, well, I often revile the century we live in, but it can't be such a bad century that has you in it.
I think that's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me, and I'll treasure it as long as I live.
What's this about leaving him? Are you serious?
Oh, I'm so mixed up. You see, when I first met him... Oh, no, I can't go into all that now.
No, go on.
I was in an end-of-term play at RADA, and just before curtain up, the word went out. Merlin Foster's in front. He's looking for a young female lead for his latest blockbuster. Oh, can you imagine that? Panic stations, huge queues at the loo. Everybody gargling madly and mugging up their lines as though Shakespeare himself was out front. Don't know why I bothered. I only had a cough and a spit. Then, later that night, my doorbell rang, and I got the shock of my life. Merlin was standing there with a big bunch of carnations and a cigar in his mouth. Anyway, he came in, just like a boy on his first date. I mean, the great Merlin Foster courting me. Because that's what he was doing. He said there was a small part for me in the play, if I was willing to take it. I thought, that's strange. I only had a cough and a spit, and I made a mess of the spit. Willing to take it? I'd have killed for it. Then, 2 weeks into rehearsal, he took me out to dinner. To break the news gently, as he put it. Break what news? I thought, oh, God, he's going to fire me. But no, he said it wasn't me. In fact, I was wonderful, magnificent, unparalleled in theatrical history. Although I only had a cough and a spit again. No, he said one of the big backers had let him down and the show was off unless he could raise £90,000 within 24 hours. And before I knew what I was doing, I'd opened my handbag and I was signing a cheque for £90,000. I think I knew in my heart of hearts what was going on. But I refused to admit it. I knew he was conning me, but I thought, even if he is, it's cheap at the price for a ticket to Mount Olympus. And anyway, I'd get a good return on my investment because Merlin was highly bankable. The show was called The Empty Years. Remember that one? No, you wouldn't. Should have been called The Empty Seats. It wasn't just unpopular. People were trampled to death in the rush to avoid it. That was the start of Merlin's long run of flops, and I bankrolled all of them. And he never gave me another part. Not even a cough and a spit. And now I've an idea he's playing around with somebody else.
Somebody else?
This trip to Venice. He usually takes me with him, but not this time. Why not? And then I suddenly remembered. There's a girl he used to know in Venice. An actress. I think she still lives there. He had a grand passion with her for years. I think he never got over it. I'm not sure if I love him or just the idea of him. What he represents. They say fame's a terrific aphrodisiac. But you're not famous. And yet the moment I first set eyes on you and just being near you like this... Oh, Charlie, hold me up. I've been so lonely.
Oh, God. Eden. Eden.
Oh, darling, this is impossible. What are we going to do? Did you hear that? What was that noise?
There's someone upstairs.
What an ass. Quiet. He's coming down. Oh, Merlin. How on earth did you get in? How did you get up there?
I'm famous, my dear, for my dramatic entrances.
How long have you been back?
Oh, just this minute. I thought I'd surprise you. We did the final scene in one take. Mr. Bertolucci budgeted for 2 days shooting, but I showed him how we could do it in one long tracking shot. Cinema history will call it his most fantastic filmic moment. Yes, I caught the midnight plane. God knows what would have happened here if I'd waited for the 1:30.
What do you mean by that?
Shall I show you a mirror? is written all over your foolish faces.
You're wrong, Merlin. Something terrible happened to Charlie. He's had a dreadful shock. I was just comforting
him. That's enough. Go to bed.
But, Merlin, please, you don't understand.
To bed, you thumping strumpet.
Oh, now, I say, Merlin...
Silence! You're next on the menu.
Merlin, honestly, I... Oh, very well. Believe the worst. You always do!
Merlin, nothing happened. I swear to you, absolutely nothing. Merlin, you must believe me. My life was threatened here tonight. I was in a state of shock. Eden was just comforting me.
What? Your life threatened? What, here? Why? Who?
By an enforcer.
An enforcer?
You know, a thug. My gambling debt. He came to collect.
A thug? What, has been here in my house? Who gave him this address?
Oh, God knows. That's what I've been wondering.
Savage.
What?
Good God alive. Henry Savage. Those bandits would stop at nothing to steal an idea.
But how could he have known I was...
I tell you, those sharks know everything. So, you paid up, did you?
Paid up? No.
No?
I couldn't. This is all terribly embarrassing. The fact is... Now, promise you won't go off at the deep end... I'm broke.
Broke? Well, what about the money I paid you?
I lost it. I just happened to drop into this... Now, keep cool, Merlin. Well, I just happened to drop into this,
Savings bank?
No.
Building society?
Casino.
Casino? The Barracuda Club? I see. You're a jackass, Charlie Nicholson. What are you?
A jackass.
Wait. You didn't give the thug his money, but you're still in one piece. What happened?
I don't know how you're going to take this next part. Eden said you'd pay.
I see. Would it offend you if I asked you if there was any sign of my play on the horizon?
The play? Yes. I have an idea.
An idea?
Yes, a great idea. You're going to love it, Merlin.
I'd better. All right, tell me about this great idea.
It's about...
Yes?
That doorbell.
That doorbell?
Yes, it's all to do with that doorbell and your telephone and the police commissioner and the Duchess of Lonsdale. But don't ask me for details.
But what happens in the blessed thing?
Well, I haven't quite worked that out yet.
Worked it out?
No, don't worry. The facts sort of tumble into place like an avalanche. They're starting to come at quite a lick now. Tell me something. How long does it take you to drive up to London from here?
About an hour. Why?
The police commissioner. Do you know if he stops in at night?
McNamara? No. He's always out, running after burglars. Except on Saturday nights, of course.
Saturday nights?
He's a football fan. Every Saturday night is sacred to Match of the Day.
Match of the Day? That's perfect!
My God, what are you brewing up, Charlie?
Please, don't ask me anything else, but I guarantee this has all the makings of an incredible plot.
One that would work in real life?
Definitely.
Well, that's all I need to know. Very well, I'll give you 1 week to lick it into shape.
A week?
Well, never mind if the dialogue's a bit rough. We can tidy that up later. Meanwhile, I'll pay off this man of yours. Agreed?
Thank you.
Now, where do I pay this enforcer?
72 Rupert Street, in the West End, by noon tomorrow.
Rupert Street? All right, I walk down there every morning. I'm in town tomorrow, and I'll drop it in before noon. Meanwhile, you stay here and get cracking on that play. You're a pen.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, who do I make this out to?
Horace Blinder.
Horace Blinder? You know, I can understand that wife of mine consoling you after your shocking experience, but I fail to see why she had to undress to do so. Huh? Well, I'm taking the little strumpet back to town tomorrow. She's given you enough consolation. Horace Blinder. Charlie, I've been meditating upon this murder of ours. I'd like you to make it as brutal and bloody and savage and sadistic as your imagination can conceive. Would you do that for me, please? Now, how much exactly did you say you wanted?
I'm coming. Okay.
Good evening, Charlie.
Evening, Merlin. I thought you were in London.
Yeah, well, I just popped round to see how you're getting on.
How are you?
Oh, not so dusty, not so dusty.
How's Eden?
Oh, she's awfully well, thank you. Good God! You've made a hell of a mess of my cottage. The toils of creation,
Sorry. When I'm working, I get so wrapped up.
Oh, not to worry. If it's the name of progress... Well, your week's up, my boy. Have you finished my lovely play?
Well, a first draft. Here we are. Oh. Hot off the press. Excuse the lousy spelling.
Congratulations, my boy. Yes, thank you. See, there's no title page.
No, I haven't typed it out yet. I'm going to call it The Hitman.
The Hitman? Oh, no. No, it's called The Final Twist.
The Final Twist? Well, you haven't even read it.
And if you don't shut up, I never will. Perhaps you could have a go at tidying up while I glance through it. It's Charlie. Hmm? What's all this about the bloody doorbell?
Oh, just read on, you'll see. Merlin, this title... How do you know there is a final twist before you've even read the damn thing?
Well, if you haven't invented a final twist, I'll put one in for you. It's a mere technicality.
Technicality? Mm. We're talking about my play.
My play, Charlie. I bought it, remember? A play like this depends on a final twist to keep the customers on their toes. Now, tidy up this pigsty and no more interruptions. Oh, God! What on earth do you mean by this?
What's that, Merlin?
Who is this mad old megalomaniac of an actor-manager?
I beg your pardon?
Who is this appalling, conceited, pompous swine?
It's you.
Me?
Yes.
Me? I never said such things.
Oh, yes, you did.
No, I did not.
You told me to take notes. I took notes. It's you.
Good Lord. Oh, what a frightful rectum. I can't play a bounder like this. I mean, it would ruin my image. Just tone him down, Ishii. Give him a touch of modesty. I mean, he is the greatest genius of the English-speaking stage.
Merlin.
Yes, sir?
I've got to say something. Well, it's just this plot. Well, if somebody wanted to harm Eden, I mean, really harm her, if this plot fell into the wrong hands... It could be about as lethal as putting an open razor into a kiddie's playpen.
I see. Is that a fact?
And that's why I'd feel a lot happier if we could let Eden in on what we're up to.
Definitely not... Oh, God. Oh, God, no. You're not still harbouring those crazy notions about me, are you? Oh, dear. I suppose I'd better own up.
Own up?
Oh, you see, Charlie... This play is in the nature of a Christmas present for the dear girl. I mean, a surprise package. I'm giving her the part, my boy. She plays the heroine.
Eden plays Eden.
Well, who else could play it so convincingly?
Oh, right, you're right.
And telling her would spoil the surprise.
I see. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, well, look here, I can't plough through all this bump with you chattering away. Just give me a quick rundown on the plot and I'll tell you what I think.
Well, a rundown of the plot... I mean, won't that take away the element of surprise when you read it? Oh, well. In a nutshell, it all revolves around the question of alibi.
Yeah, good. Carry on.
You see, Eden gets murdered up in London at the house in Kinnerton Street, while you're down here at the cottage.
How do I do her in Kinnerton Street while I'm down here at the cottage? What, did I leave the gas on?
Oh, no.
Well, what then?
You remember Norman McNamara, the police commissioner?
Well, of course I do. I passed the time of day with him this morning as I took in the milk. What about him?
Well, McNamara swears you were down here at the cottage when the murder was done. The commissioner of the Met gives you your alibi.
Ah, the golden alibi. How's it done?
Well, before I begin, bear in mind the highly distinctive doorbell of this house.
Well, the Mozart chimes.
Diddle-bum, diddle-bum.
Yes. I'll keep them in mind. Now, go on, Charlie.
Now, if you're speaking on the telephone in this cottage and somebody happens to ring that doorbell, the Mozart chimes are overheard by the person on the other end of the line. Mm. And that tells him instantly, beyond all doubt, that you're speaking from this cottage. Am I right?
Yes, but if he happens to know this cottage and this doorbell, yes.
Does McNamara know about the doorbell?
Oh, let me see here. Yes, I believe he does. We had him down for the weekend last summer. And yes, I believe he did remark on the bell. Most people do.
Good. Now, we come to the murder itself. It takes place on a certain Saturday night at your house in Kinnerton Street.
Yeah.
That morning, you travel down here and leave Eden alone in the London house.
Uh-huh.
When you depart from Kinnerton Street that morning, that fatal morning, you make sure that at least one neighbour sees you setting off, and that he knows you're coming here. Ideally, that person should be McNamara.
Just to recap on the scoreboard, mm-hmm. I depart from Kinnerton Street on Saturday morning, leaving Eden behind me, and tell Norman McNamara that I'm on my way down here, right?
Right. Now, when you get here, you call at the village shop or the post office or the pub to establish that you've arrived. Buy a pound of sausages for your supper, buy a bottle of wine.
Goose the postmistress.
Yeah, that kind of thing. As long as your arrival here is noted by the locals.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at Kinnerton Street, Eden is awaiting a visitor.
A visitor? What visitor?
When you left for the country that morning, you instructed her to stay behind because an important caller was expected at Kinnerton Street that night, and only Eden could deal with her.
Ah, the visitor is a lady.
The visitor is an eccentric old woman who wants to invest some money in a new play.
An eccentric old angel.
Yes, the angel of death.
What? The angel of death? Yeah, go on, I like it. Yeah, by George, I like it.
This old woman is due to call at 10 o'clock that night. She's a terrible eccentric who won't have anything to do with men. She'll only deal with women.
Oh, you mean she's one of the...
But she has this longing to invest in a play, and she knows a Merlin Foster epic is highly bankable. So she's arranged to turn up at the house that night carrying a plastic shopping bag stuffed with £20 notes. You tell all this to Eden. Now, can you make her swallow it?
Oh, leave it to me. She's the most trusting soul in creation.
Very well. On the stroke of 10, Eden's doorbell rings. She opens the door. There stands the batty old angel, complete with plastic shopping bag. Eden lets her in and closes the door.
And now Eden is alone in the house with the angel of death. Splendid. I'm getting goosebumps. Because, of course, it isn't an old woman she's invited into her parlour.
No, it isn't an old woman.
It's me.
You've got it.
It's Merlin Foster in drag.
And then, without more ado, you strangle her.
I like it. I love it.
And then you bring out a hacksaw, cut off her head and pop it in the shopping bag.
Oh, no. One moment, dear chap. Just a minute. A hacksaw? Oh, come, Charlie. Strangulation, yes, but... Fair's fair.
Well, it's only a play, Merlin. I said, it's only a play.
Quite. Yeah, but even so, I mean, what appalling barbarity.
Well, you asked for barbarity. Make it bloody and brutal. That's what you said. Make it savage and sadistic.
So I did. Well, it's almost delicious so far. What next, dear boy?
Right. You walk out of Kinnerton Street with the head in the plastic bag.
Uh-huh.
If anybody notices you leaving, so much the better. You go to your car, which is parked discreetly a few streets away, then head back here. But you only drive 5 miles, and then you stop at a public call box and telephone McNamara. You tell him you're calling from this cottage. You say, you're somewhat anxious about Eden. Mm-hmm. You tell him she rang up about half an hour before and said there was a batty old woman in the house who wouldn't go away. You advised her to ring him, McNamara, right away to come along and get rid of her. Eden said she'd do that pronto. However, you'd been trying to ring Eden again to see if all was well, but you couldn't get any reply. So, would he kindly pop round to see if all was well?
Yeah.
And at that moment, your doorbell starts chiming. Diddle-learn, 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 diddle-learn.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, McNamara, at the other end, hears the Mozart chimes.
But surely I'm not at home. I'm in some dreary wayside telephone kiosk. So how could my doorbell...
No, just let me finish. Your doorbell starts chiming. Diddle-lum, 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 dum. And you say to McNamara, "Hold on, old boy. There goes my doorbell. I'll just pop along and see who's there. With luck, it could be Eden herself." And then you go away for a minute, leaving him dangling. Then you come back to him, and you're out of control. You're hysterical. You tell him something horrible's happened. You've just found Eden's head on the doorstep.
Good Lord. That'll put the wind up him, won't it?
Mm.
It'll certainly put the wind up me. Yeah, but hold on a moment.
Yes?
I see a big hole in this story.
Oh, yes?
Something of a magician I might be, but how could I be here in this cottage and in a distant telephone box at the same time?
But you're not here. You are in a distant telephone box.
Mm. Yeah, but so how does McNamara hear my confounded doorbell?
You play it to him.
I play it to him.
Just a moment. You play it to him on this.
What's that?
A cassette player. Listen. I taped this last night. All you have to do is play it to McNamara while you're in the phone box.
Great heavens.
You're barely 5 miles from Kinnerton Street, but he's absolutely convinced you're down here, 50 miles away.
My God, so he is.
So McNamara rushes next door and breaks the door down and finds Eden's headless corpse. Now imagine the scene at Kinnerton Street. All hell breaks loose. There's only one thing McNamara can be sure of. That you didn't do this murder. Wasn't he talking to you on your own phone any minutes ago?
So he was. So he was.
Meanwhile, you've driven back here like crazy, and by the time the police turn up to take charge of the head, you've changed out of your makeup, you've burnt the cassette and the old woman's clothes. You're the baffled, grieving husband. A figure to be pitied and consoled.
Yes.
And best of all, you're completely in the clear. And that's the plot. Well...
How horrible. Fantastic. Incredible. How wonderful. Yeah, but listen, old chap.
Yes?
Wouldn't this make more effective theatre if the old woman were to call at McNamara's house first, before the murder?
Before the murder?
Yes. I mean, what if she were to call at McNamara's house and ask for Eden? And McNamara explains that she's come to the wrong house, that Eden lives next door. And then the old woman apologizes and goes on her merry way. Her merry, murderous way. You follow? It clinches the story that Eden has a late caller, and that it was an old bag lady. My God, I want to play this part. I want to see McNamara's face when I come calling at his door, dressed as a sweet little old lady.
No, hold on. Aren't you getting a little carried away?
Carried away?
We're talking about a play.
Yeah, well, I know that, but first we rehearse.
We rehearse? How do you mean?
I go through every motion.
Every motion?
Next Saturday night. No good hanging about. I happen to know that the Duke of York's is falling vacant in December, just in time for the Christmas trade.
You go through every motion next Saturday night?
Yeah, I put it on the test bench. I time it with a stopwatch. I find out for certain if this little plot of yours actually works in real life.
No, Merlin.
Let me think. Yes, I travel down here next Saturday morning. I spend the day doing what? Well, I could deadhead the roses, spray some sweet peas, and the folks down in the village will spot me, a distant, noble figure, toiling from noon to twilight. Then darkness falls, and I slip quietly away, the angel of death, taking care to drive out of here quietly and unseen through the back lanes.
And what's Eden doing all this time?
Eden is sitting at home in Kinnerton Street, waiting for a crazy old angel.
You're really going to tell her an angel is on the way?
Exactly as it says in your script. This is a full technical rehearsal.
And you really call on McNamara dressed in drag?
I must. It's in the script. And the kindly policeman directs me to Eden's door.
And then what do you do when Eden opens it?
I step inside.
And then what? You don't strangle her. You don't cut off her.
Be serious, Charlie. I thought I cured you of such nonsense.
So, what do you tell her once you get inside?
I tell her who I am. If she hasn't twigged already, I tell her I'm pulling a little stunt and everything will shortly be explained. And then I kiss her goodnight. Leave the premises and swing into phase two. The drive home, the telephone call to McNamara.
You really do stop on the way home? You actually telephone McNamara and play the tape down his ear hole?
Well, it's in the script.
No. No, Merlin, there is something wrong here. I don't like it.
Well, you bloody well wrote it. Oh, blast! Who the hell's that? Darling! How lovely to see you.
Oh, Merlin?
I thought you were attending an audition.
No. Something else came up. Something in the post. I thought you'd like to see it right away.
Yeah, but this is addressed to me. You've opened it.
It was posted in Venice, and it's in a woman's handwriting. Of course I opened it. You've taken up with Magliano again. You spent the night with her when you went to work with Bertolucci. How could you, Merlin?
Don't that. Is that all? My dearest darling girl, it was all shatteringly innocent. I know it looks bad, but I simply used Miss Magliano's villa instead of a hotel.
You promised me that was all over years ago.
But it is. Magliano and I are just friends. Mere friends.
Not according to that letter. It's so juicy she must have been trampling grapes when she wrote it.
Yeah, but you must make allowances for Latin overstatement. They make a laundry list sound like a passionate declaration.
That's not a laundry list. It's an aria by Puccini.
Exactly what I'm saying. I mean, who in his right mind could take such a woman seriously?
I could. She's arriving in London on Monday. No doubt her enormous bust will be arriving the day before.
Well, it's quite simple, my dear. She's going to invest a lovely lump of money in Charlie's play.
Oh. And I suppose that means that she's going to play the lead.
Possibly. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need something from the tool shed. Charlie, give Eden a drink, will you? She's a little upset.
Drink?
No, thank you.
Magliano? Lucia Magliano, the film star?
He discovered her when she was a little 16-year-old waitress in Naples. Of course, that was about 100 years ago. He gave her a tiny part in one of his films. She never got rich enough to qualify as one of his wives. But now...
Yes?
But she married that enormous Italian shoe manufacturer. Well, he wasn't enormous, but his shoes were. Oh, you know what I mean. He was killed in a car crash last year, left her millions and millions. And now she's coming to London, and Merlin's got her slated as wife number 7. I know he has. Well, he won't get rid of me as easily as all the others. No. I've got a Californian marriage contract, and the only escape clause is death. So I'm all right, aren't I, Charlie? Charlie, I asked you a question.
Eden, my darling, I've been thinking about Magliano.
I know you have, for the last 20 years.
It's true. For years and years, I carried a vision of the divine Lucia in my head. But going to her villa cured me of all that. She's nothing but an old Italian tart. You are so young. You helped to bring me back to life, and when I see you standing there so fresh and innocent, so eager, lovely, I know I'm the luckiest man in all creation. Now, come on, we're going back to town, and I'm going to buy you the biggest diamond in London.
I don't want a diamond. I just want you.
Then your wish is granted. Hand on heart, I'm yours for life.
What have you got there, Merlin?
This? Oh, Oh, it's my hacksaw.
Hacksaw? What do you want with a hacksaw?
To tell you the truth, darling, I've got a job of work to do at Kinnerton Street. And next Saturday night, Charlie?
Yes?
Match of the day, Charlie. Match of the day.
I've been dialing it for over 2 hours, but I keep getting no reply. Well, there should be someone in. Look, I know she's in. Yes, thank you. It's desperately urgent. Please hurry. At last. At last.
Hello, Charlie.
Merlin, where have you been?
Let me in. Come on, my dress is getting wet.
What's in that bag?
The scarlet deed is done.
What?
Now, get pencil and paper. Make a note of the time.
Time? Time, right. Merlin, what's in that bag?
Write down the time. Don't hang about. Write down everything.
I am. Where's Eden? How is she? Is she all right?
Eden is... Well, I'll come to that.
Oh, my God! Look!
Well, what's the matter?
Blood! There's blood on your dress.
What?
Blood on your dress.
Oh, yes. Right, yeah. I got in a fight.
Fight? Who with?
Is the bath water hot?
Yes. What's in the bag, Merlin? There's something big and heavy in that bag.
Observant of you.
And blood on that dress.
Yeah, I told you I had a fight.
At Kinnerton Street?
No, on the bloody Guildford Bypass.
Guildford Bypass?
Well, I got stuck in a tailback on the way home. You know how it is.
Yes.
And everything came to a grinding halt. Well, the usual chorus of mindless hooting went on, and I turned round at one point and gave the V sign to some imbecile behind me who kept hooting at me. The next thing I knew, he was climbing out of his car and coming to my door. Well, when he saw I was a little old lady in a print frock, he contented himself with kicking my door in. But I wasn't having any of that. I jumped out and walloped him on the chin. Laid him out cold.
Merlin, what's in the bag?
Oh, yeah, Charlie, you are a genius. It worked.
Worked? What do you mean exactly?
I carried out your plan, to the letter. But my God, it wasn't easy.
What wasn't easy?
None of it. It was hard, bloody hard. You write a hard part for an actor, Charlie, and for an actress. Oh, yes, yes, sir. And for an actress.
Merlin, will you stop prevaricating and tell me what's in that bag?
A trophy of war. My father was a cannibal king up the Amazon, you know. A headhunter. It must be in the genes.
Never mind the genes. What's in the bag?
Take notes. Now, this is important. Now, here's a strange thing. I almost lost my nerve. Convincing an audience in the theatre is one thing, but in real life it's a different story. I had definite butterflies as I approached McMara's door. Not only that, but I'd forgotten the carriage lamps.
Carriage lamps?
On either side of McNamara's door. When he opened up, they bathed me in light. God, I nearly bolted. But no, I told myself, you must go through with this. Play it for real. Sink into the part. Forget Merlin Foster and actually become that old woman. Because the one you've got to convince, most of all, is not the audience, but yourself. Yeah, so when McNamara's eyes bored into me, when his sharp copper's gaze roved over my painted face in the full glare of those blazing lights, I gazed straight back and put my face to the light and smiled. Smiled a little roguishly and made my inquiry. fully convincing myself that I was the old woman, and thus convincing him. And so he pointed the way to Eaton's house, and withdrew with a polite good night. But the wonder of it all was that Eden was convinced, too.
Eden? Until you told her, you mean?
Told her?
Explained.
Explained? Why should I do that?
You mean she didn't recognize you, and you didn't enlighten her?
Enlighten her? Oh, no, 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 quite out of the question. Because by then, you see, I was lost in my role. Quite lost. Mysterious how a part can take you over. I was no longer Merlin Foster. I was the Angel of Death. The role had been written. I had been cast for the part. It had to be played to the bitter end.
What's in the bag, Merlin?
Now, here you are. Why did you take a look? Smelling salts are on the desk.
What's this? It's heavy.
34 ounces, I believe.
34 ounces?
Yes, so I believe. Yeah, but I must get moving. You did say the water was hot, didn't you? If all goes according to plan, the police should be here in 5 minutes. Let them in, will you?
The police?
When they arrive, you will corroborate my story. I was here all day and all night. You can swear to that.
Merlin, you've got to be joking.
You were here when my doorbell rang. You were here when I opened the door and stumbled over the head on the step.
Merlin!
You heard a car speeding away. You succored and solaced me in my distress. And if you wish to tell a different tale, my boy, remember you are my accomplice. Not only that, but you dreamed up the whole wicked scheme yourself. Accessory before the fact, I believe they call it. Yes, well, I must go and change.
Yes.
Pop the head on the doorstep, will you? And burn the bag.
My God. What's he done? Oh, no, he can't have. But what about the blood? Oh, my God. Oh, no. The police.
How's the big gambler?
Eden! Oh, Eden! Oh, for God's sake, am I glad to see you.
Oh. Just back from Sainsbury's, I see.
Sainsbury's?
The bag.
The bag. Oh, this. No, Sainsbury's will be closed by now.
What have you got in there?
This bag? Well, I was just putting it away.
How's the play going?
Play? What play? Oh, play. You know, for a moment I'd forgotten I was writing a play.
Well, is it finished?
Finished? To tell you the truth, I'm still a bit mystified about the ending.
Well, why don't you take a look in the bag?
Bag?
The bag might help you.
I beg your pardon?
Charlie, dear, take a quick glance in the bag. The answer might be in there.
This bag?
Yes.
Eden, what do you know about this?
Charlie, that damned water's icy cold. Expect me to wash off bloodstains in a freezing... What? Eden? My dear.
Hi, Merlin. How did it all go?
Oh, first class. Yes, like clockwork. Not a hitch. One might say it's in the bag.
In the bag, yes. So I see. Congratulations, darling.
Oh, don't go congratulating me. Charlie's the boy.
Yes, congratulations, Charlie. Jolly well done.
Eaton, so you knew... You knew all the time. And you let me go on thinking that...
Yes. Let you go on thinking what, Charlie?
Thinking that you... Well, thinking that he...
Thinking that it might all be for real.
For real? Oh, now come off it. Good heavens, if you think I'm that sort of person.
But you had your suspicions, Charlie. Come on. Own up. And you never thought of warning me.
Well, I did try to warn you. I've been trying to get you on the bloody blower all night.
So you did have your suspicions?
No. Oh, look here. I know what you're up to. You've both been trying to manipulate me in some sordid exercise. But I never fell for it, not for a second, no.
You were ready to let my head be cut off, Charlie.
No, I was not.
And I'd grown so fond of you. I thought you were fond of me.
Okay, that's enough of the joke.
Joke? He still hasn't twigged. This is no joke, Charlie. Don't you see what we've done? We've proved that a murder plan can be constructed by a writer and carried out by an actor in every particular. I followed every step. I did every deed as you dictated.
All but one.
Why, what have I left undone?
The plan was to murder your wife.
Yes.
Only she's still alive. She's standing there.
Oh, you mean Eden?
Yes. Who else?
But Eden is not my wife.
You're not his...
No, Charlie. I'm not his wife.
Not his wife? So, who is your wife?
My wife is Dorothea Southgate, the distinguished Catholic novelist.
You're not divorced?
Dorothea didn't believe in divorce.
So where is she now?
At Kinnerton Street. Well, I mean, her body's at Kinnerton Street, but her head...
Now, come on! I mean, the game's over. We've all had a good laugh. We've established I'm an idiot. Please don't labour the joke.
Open the bag, Charlie.
Now, that's enough! This is all getting very childish! End of joke! Stop messing about!
He's afraid of what he'll find.
He's fricked.
Very well, I'll open it. God. Oh, my God.
Meet my wife.
Oh, no.
I hope you're making a mental note of all this, Charlie. Just imagine its impact on an audience.
The only audience you all have will be judge and jury at the Old Bailey.
Oh, no. You won't come to that. Now I believe I owe you a final payment. Chekhov, you know, always maintained that if you showed a gun in Act One, you were... obliged to use it in Act Three.
Merlin, what are you up to?
Quiet, my dear.
But Merlin, no.
There comes a time in the life of a play, my dear Charlie, when the author has to retire to the darkness and put his little creation into the hands of the actors. And that moment has now arrived.
Merlin, what the hell is this? What the hell is this?
Be quiet, Eden. I'll deal with you too. Good heavens, this fellow cares nothing for you. He was going to let you die.
No, he was just weak. He was just confused.
We can't afford weakness and confusion. And now, I'd like you to walk out to the well, Charlie.
The well? What are you up to? No, you can't. This is a joke, isn't it?
It's no joke, my darling. He knows too much. Outside, Charlie.
No, wait. Just think. If I disappear, I'll be traced to this house.
Well, there's nothing to connect you with this house. No one knew you were coming here. I cast your mind back, and you'll remember I made that a condition of our first meeting.
Ah!
Well?
Enforcer.
What?
The enforcer. The thug. The man sent by my bookie.
I'm afraid he won't help.
I wouldn't be too sure.
Oh, but I am.
Would you like horses and plumes and choir boys? Would you like Kensal Green or Golders Green? Would you like to be recycled as Pigswill? Or would you prefer to be dismembered...
and distributed far and wide?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
That was you?
It was a busy night for me. I also played the croupier.
Hey?
At the Barracuda Club. Stick or twist, senora. Stick or twist. It was embarrassingly simple to relieve you of your money.
You absolute... bastard!
Now, please do as I ask and walk out to the well.
Merlin, there's no call for this. He won't give us away, will you, Charlie?
Won't give us away? Look at him. Even if he was on our side, he'd never have the bottle to see it through. We've got to bluff our way past the police and possibly through the law courts. He's going to call for acting abilities of the highest caliber. I'm sorry, Charlie, but every man to his trade. Outside, please.
Oh, dear me.
Merlin!
He took me by surprise.
Oh, Charlie, what have you done? Merlin!
It wasn't in the script, you know.
Oh. Merlin! Oh, I think he's gone.
Oh, no. Are you sure?
There's no pulse. Yes. He's gone. Oh, the fool. The damned idiotic fool. I warned him about the gun. I told him to use blanks, but no, he was such a ridiculous perfectionist. He had to rehearse everything down to the last detail.
Rehearse? What are you talking about, rehearse? He's going to kill me.
No, don't you see? That was just another twist. The final twist. It was just another part of the play. He wasn't going to harm you. He just wanted to see your reactions when you were faced with a gun. He wanted to get it right, don't you understand?
That was a play? Only a play? He wasn't going to kill me?
No. No.
Oh, good Lord. The futility of it all. Just for a play. But wait, what about his wife?
I'm his wife.
But what about that? There's a woman's head in that bag, covered in blood.
A fake.
A fake?
Just a very clever theatrical fake.
Eden. Eden.
Merlin. Oh, my darling.
Life. Life in the old dog yet.
Hush, my darling. Hush.
Charlie. You there, Charlie?
Yes, Merlin.
Mick. A note.
A note?
Famous last words.
Merlin, you've got to rest.
Write this down. Write it down.
Okay, Merlin.
Dying words of Merlin Foster.
Yes?
We make our entrance. We make a balls up. We make our exit.
He's gone.
Yes, he's gone.
And there, I think, we roughly have it. And there the curtain slowly falls.
Merlin! My God, Merlin!
I think it's all going to work splendidly, don't you? Make us all a fortune.
Good God, you old rogue! Why, I thought you were dead. Never do that to me again.
Merlin, how did I do? Was I okay in that last scene? I mean, have I got the part?
My darling, you were born for the part.
Oh, you incredible old fraud. I say, just one last question.
Go ahead, my boy.
That was the final twist, please.
Final twist? Oh, yes, you finally exhausted my powers of invention. There is just the matter of this splendid head.
Oh, what about it?
Oh, it's a pity we can't use it in the actual production.
Oh, why can't we?
Well, it is my wife. And, you know, they go off in the hot weather, you know. Better pop it down the well. Here you are. Catch.
In The Final Twist, by Ken Whitmore and Alfred Bradley, Sir Merlin Foster was played by Donald Sinden, Charlie, Michael Troughton, Eden, Amanda Waring, and Morton Rifles by John Hartley. The play was directed by Enid Williams.